Hi everyone, you're here with Alexander Defoe on this week's episode of Awaken Your Higher Mind. Last week we talked about chi energy, the essential life force that flows through and animates all things. And this week I'll be talking with world-known author in metaphysics and spirituality, Robert Bruce. This interview is really pertinent because Robert specifically talks from an experiential approach rather than a theoretical one. He began having out-of-body experiences at the age of 4, and raised what is known as Kundalini energy in his early 30s. Robert is a true spiritual pioneer of our times. He is author of several groundbreaking books, including Astral Dynamics, Mastering Astral Projection, and Energy Work, The Secret of Healing and Spiritual Development. Robert has dedicated his life to exploring the dynamics of all things spiritual and paranormal, and to testing the boundaries of the greater reality. This particularly involves exploring the mysteries of the human energy body, which he believes is the foundation of physical existence and spiritual incarnation. His other fields of experience include out-of-body experiences, kundalini, mind's eye vision, spiritual and psychic development, metaphysics, spiritual security, spirits of nature, and manifestation. Robert lectures internationally and currently resides in Australia. And you can find more information about him on his website at astraldynamics.com, which also features a wealth of free information and downloads on energy awareness and astral projection. Robert also conducts online workshops teaching energy work and astral projection, and he's currently got 2 workshops starting soon, one that is running online and one that will be running in Kalamunda in Western Australia. Hi, Robert. It's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Good day, Alex. It's nice to be here.
So, Robert, you've published a number of books on energy dynamics, astral projection, and the psychic realms. Could you spend a few minutes telling listeners why you believe these particular subjects are so important in terms of spirituality and self-awareness?
Well, these subjects get you in touch with who you are and help you to awaken and achieve your potential in life. I mean, you take them, take these things away and you just have, material existence, which is, getting up in the morning, going to work, going to sleep, watching TV until you die. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot more to life that you can realize through these interests.
Right. So astral projection and energy work kind of really helps people see that there's more to life than just that material lifestyle. Is that what you mean?
Yes, very much so. If you get in touch with your energy body, which is very simple to do, through personal experience, you can feel your energy body. You can feel it activating. It's quite a visceral sensation. Only takes a few minutes to teach it. Mm-hmm. And at my live workshops, everybody is feeling energy within the first 10 minutes. Most people feeling it immediately. And when you feel that, it's something that you're doing and causing these quite visceral sensations. In your hands, for example, they'll start tingling and buzzing and throbbing very noticeably. They might be hot or cold. Right. And you're causing it. And when we extend on that, we do a bit of hand sensing where I line people up face to face about 10 feet apart with their hands up after the hands have been energized. And mm-hmm. then I get people to walk into each other. And when they get their hands are a couple of feet apart, they can feel the outline of each other's energy body. Okay. And they're like, moving their hands around another person, taking turns, and they can feel the outlines of the aura and the energy centers. And mm-hmm. you're doing this so that it's not a matter of listening to something and choosing to believe it, which is how most things are. You're actually doing it through personal experience. And this mm-hmm. awakens you to understanding that you do have an energy body. And further to this, practices like mind's eye vision, seeing auras, having astral projections, further takes you into what I call the greater reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. You know, a lot of people, they do stumble upon, you know, their idea or their belief of what energy is rather than just experiencing it for themselves. To those people that do kind of ask you, you know, what is energy specifically, what kind of definition would you give in layman's terms?
Well, we're talking about subtle energy of the human body here, the human mm-hmm. energy body. Yep. And that is... Sorry?
Yeah, no, go on.
The subtle energy fields of your chakras also have an electromagnetic component, which is measurable. A lot of medical devices will measure the electricity in your body and the electrical fields. Mm-hmm. The energy of the heart center, of the heart itself, can be detected at more than 50 meters away, I think, and probably further if they had the equipment set up. And every cell of your physical body has electrical activity within it and produces electromagnetic fields. So mm-hmm. inside of you is a massive amount of electrical activity and electromagnetic fields. Now, beneath the surface of this on a subtle level, there is also what we call the energy body, the subtle energy body, right. Which... I mean, science today cannot really measure that because they don't really know what it is. But these fields, you can sense them with your own body, with your own hands, and become aware of your own energy body, its chakras and meridians, and the extent of your aura. You have like an aura field around you is what they generally call it. And it's an egg-shaped shape around you. If you stretch your hands out and fingers out as far as they will go, that's about the width of your energy egg. And if you put your hands above your head as far as they'll go, that's the top of it. And if you imagine an egg surrounding your physical body going slightly beneath the ground you're standing on, that's mm-hmm. the outer skin of your energy egg. And inside of it there is a lot of quite robust energy structures, which you can learn to feel quite easily. But now, this is a part of being alive. It's also a part of spiritual incarnation. Your spirit, your soul, whatever you want to call it, is held inside your physical body through the energy body, the interface between the human energy body and the physical body and the mind. This holds your spirit inside of you, holds you inside of that. And you can further understand this by having an out-of-body experience, which you can learn how to do. A lot of people have them spontaneously, but it's quite easy to teach yourself how to have an out-of-body experience. We run online courses on this, 5-week courses called the Practical Astral Projection Intensive. Regularly every couple of months, and I also do live workshops. And my book, Astrodynamics, teaches you how to do it as well. It's a process. You have to learn a variety of things to do. You have to learn a lot to do very little, primarily to achieve a deep physical state of relaxation, deep relaxation, mm-hmm. doing nothing and relaxing your mind. Takes a fair bit of practice because we're in the normal world, we're addicted to thinking and our minds are constantly active in the background and we don't notice it.
Yeah.
But when you want to achieve an out-of-body experience or an altered state of consciousness, you have to quieten your mind down. And it's mainly thought words you have to stop. You are aware of everything, but you just... choosing not to speak with your mind. So there's various techniques for achieving that. And it's quite achievable with a little bit of practice. It's not a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. For example, if you you sit in a chair and close your eyes and just relax for a moment and then focus on your stomach, on your belly, and focus on feeling it expanding and contracting as you breathe, feeling yourself breathe, but focusing on the air of your body. And you'll notice there's a sensation there as you breathe in and out, as your stomach moves. And if you focus on that, just a relaxed attention on there, that occupies your mind enough to stop thought words appearing. I mean, occasionally words will start up and you just refocus your attention. But with a little bit of practice, you can hold your mind very relaxed and clear, which if you do that, it's very much like falling asleep while staying awake. In fact, that's exactly what it is. We do this every night, every time you fall asleep. You relax, you close your eyes, you snuggle down in bed, and you might think a little bit, and your thoughts get a little bit vague and fuzzy. And then just before you fall asleep, you'll find your mind will clear, the thought words will go away, and you'll have a moment of where you experience an altered state of consciousness, and you feel a falling sensation as you drop into this, a slight falling sensation within, and then you'll click out and you're asleep. Well, the trick is for working in altered states, or it's also called a trance state of consciousness, is to go through this process while keeping your mind awake so that your physical body can fall asleep and your mind stays awake. And when that happens, your energy body and its chakras activate, and there's quite a lot of energy activity happens around you, and your mind will deepen, psychic abilities will begin to appear, and you will start to activate, you could say, your spiritual body. In most people who do not have any kind of spiritual practice like this, you will find they their spiritual body, you could say, is not active. They are functioning on the physical material level only. And but when you start a regular practice, a meditation practice of any kind, you find your spiritual body starts to awaken and to develop, which slowly brings you into the greater reality. You start becoming aware of more spiritual things, including your energy body, and your spiritual senses start to activate to a greater or lesser extent, depending on how your energy body is configured, which varies considerably.
So when you talk about the spiritual body, are you talking about the astral body?
You could call it the astral body, but the astral body is only a part of it. The astral body, per se, is generated internally during the process of when you fall asleep, for example. Once you've fallen asleep, your body and energy body generate the astral body and project this smoothly out of your body, and your astral body hovers usually a couple of feet above your physical body, mimicking the sleeping position because it's also asleep. And while it's asleep, it is, you could say, functioning. The mind of your astral body is functioning on the mental level and other spiritual levels. So you can see when you have a conscious astral projection, you go through the same process, but you keep your physical body mind awake. Your mind is awake as it is normally. And you go through the procedure and you project your astral body out of you. And that is a copy of the original. The original you, your mind and spirit, is always held inside your physical body while you live. It never leaves it. But during astral projection and sleep, you generate a copy of this, an energy copy, which is projected out of body. And this is demonstrable because if you experiment with altered states of consciousness, astral projection, you will often find yourself having two different sets of perceptions. You'll be aware of being awake in your physical body that's deeply relaxed and thinking. You'll also be aware of being in your astral body at a remote location and functioning independently. Your dream mind is another aspect, can also become active simultaneously. So this is what I call the mind split effect. And the basic level of the mind split effect is two or three copies of you running. You have the original in your physical body-mind, is functioning in an altered state. Your astral body is projected out of body, is functioning as well. And your dream mind can also become active simultaneously. That makes three copies of you functioning simultaneously. And if you look at this, and it's quite demonstrable if you look into the data or experiment yourself, you'll start thinking to yourself, well, what am I? These are new features, abilities of your body that you were not aware of. And most people are not aware of because they haven't experienced them very often enough to observe them closely and haven't spent enough time doing it to notice these things. But, of course, understanding how this works makes it much easier to teach it and to learn how to do it.
Right. So energy work is really the key to all of this.
Yes, energy work allows you to get in touch with your energy body and to activate it and develop it. You can raise energy into your body deliberately. You can activate particular chakras in order to stimulate psychic spiritual abilities, including the ability to astral project. And meditation alone also activates the energy body if you are doing a deep relaxation exercise where all you do is relax your mind, stopping thought words and relaxing your physical body and just existing in a state of, it's a very blissful state, deeply relaxed, but you're still awake. That activates your energy body to a significant extent. But with energy work, it allows you to, you could say, manually pull energy into your body and pull energy, direct energy to your chakras and individually activate them. So you can then choose what parts of the energy body you're going to activate and for what purpose.
Right. So in your work entitled New Energy Ways, you do talk about some elements of energy work, such as pulling the energy into your heart and then, you know, free your hands as a means of healing. So is that kind of like one example of how you can manipulate the energy in your body?
Yes, it is. That's one of the applications of energy work.
Right.
And in this technique, you bring energy into your feet with your body awareness. You pull it up your feet and up your legs and up through your body to your heart center on the in-breath while you're breathing in, because the in-breath is helpful for pulling energy into the body. It's a natural pulling in feeling, which you adapt to the body awareness actions of pulling energy in. And when you finish the in-breath, you push the energy with the breath out through the arms and into the patient you're working on or giving healing to, or you may be giving healing to yourself. You can give healing to a plant, and you'll find you will accelerate its growth. Now, when you do this, another aspect of the healing is energy will come in from above into your crown chakra and come in through your head, down through the throat chakra and into the heart and out through the arms. Now, there is a method for pulling the energy up to the crown chakra and then back down on the out breath to the heart and out through your arms. But that complicates it a little. I find the energy from the crown center comes in automatically as you pump the energy through you with the breathing method, breathing it up through the legs to the heart chakra and then out through the arms. The crown chakra and the high chakras automatically engage and healing energy flows down into this energy circuit you're creating for healing. But there are other there's many ways of activating and using the energy body, different applications. For example, if you want to nurture clairvoyance, or you want to have mind's eye visions or seeing the aura, you will do more work on the brow center, your third eye, which is in the middle of your brow, and you will work on that to activate it more.
An interesting question that's come up for me is that some people find it really easy. For example, if you ask them to work on their third eye chakra, they find it really easy to get some sensation there, while others you know, they can be trying every day for months and they're just not feeling any energy at all. What's your opinion about, you know, why some people find it easier than others?
The energy body, to start with, is everybody has a different level of activation in it. If a person has never done any meditation or spiritual work in their life, they may have some difficulty getting it going. Some people find it's quite easy to get going. They're natural at it. They have natural talent there. But everybody can do this. And the secret is, what causes the problem with the activating the brow center is, excuse me, in the Western world, in the modern world today, we are heavily based in our brow center. The brow center and crown center, the higher chakras, are heavily overstimulated, as opposed to thousands of years ago where people lived in heavily grounded agricultural societies. Then they would have to do more work, a lot more work on the higher centers like the brow center in order to activate it. But the lower centers are already quite active. But come forward to today, where we tend to live in our minds and in our heads, those areas are quite active, but the lower centers are generally inactive. So what you need to do to get your brow center going, if it's not responding, is to spend a lot more time working on your lower centers, your base center, your navel center, your solar plexus, to get those functioning, because they provide the energy for your higher centers. Your energy flows in from above, as I mentioned before, but also it needs to flow from the planet. The planetary energies need to come in, and you could say they meet in the heart center, but both are necessary in order to activate psychic abilities. There's like two types of energy that need to mix there in order to activate things. And if you spend too much time working on the brow center, you will generally cause problems, emotional problems, mental problems, psychological instability problems, and psychic problems. And you know, it's generally not wise to focus too much on one particular center. And also to validate that statement is most psychic type problems and mental and emotional problems can be eased by doing more work on the lower centers, which brings balance to your energy body. Mm-hmm. Now, the chakras are not individual devices that can be activated in a healthy way independently. If you're working on the entire energy body regularly, you can focus on one, but you know, if you are not doing regular work on all of your centers, working on one center is unwise. And any of the higher centers, the heart, the throat, the brow, or the crown center, should not be worked on exclusively without also putting an equal amount of time or more into your lower centers.
Okay. So your recommendation would be to focus evenly on all of the chakras.
Yes, and more so if a person's been working more on the, say, the brow center and only on the brow center, it would be wise to spend a lot more time working on the lower centers, particularly mm-hmm. the base center, which you could say flowers in the perineum, which is the flat area between your anus and genitals. That's the area to work on. And you know, my book, Energy Work and Astral Dynamics, show you how to work on these centers with body awareness techniques, which are very easy to learn. It's very quick to make progress using these methods. And you can really come to grips with your energy body and feel it and manually activate your chakras and stimulate them. And so in a case like that, you will work significantly on the base center and then on your navel center and solar plexus chakra. And this will provide the energy to bring the higher centers online to activate them. I've given hundreds of live workshops and taught this work in person to thousands of people. So I get a very good feel for this intuitively, working with people And in every workshop, there is someone there who has, they might, for example, have activity in the lower part of the energy body and nothing in the higher part. But generally, it's the other way around. They'll feel a little bit of activation in the higher, maybe the brow center or the heart, but nothing significant. And I get them to do a little bit of work. I'm talking 5 to 10 minutes work here on the lower centers, pulling energy up the legs and working on the feet and the base center. And just a few minutes, and then you will find a massive flood of energy enters the higher chakras. And your whole upper body will be tingling and throbbing, because often you've got a blockage there between the higher and lower chakras, because they're not working, because they've never really been stimulated. And all of this is variable, hugely variable from person to person. So, and this is what my book Energy Body is about. It explains and takes you through the whole process of beginning to stimulate your energy body from the start, starting with your hands and your feet. And it works its way up through the rest of the energy body, and then it works on the chakras, and it teaches activations of different applications, and also teaches you to work with your higher self for self-healing and healing.
Right. So when we talk about the energy going up from the lower chakras to the higher chakras, I've noticed some people bring up the topic of Kundalini, the Kundalini energy kind of commencing at the base chakra and moving upwards. What's your personal experience been with that?
Well, I first raised Kundalini to its full when I was about 32, I think it was, which is 20-odd years ago. But relating to this, Kundalini raising, there's two aspects to Kundalini to understand to begin with. One is the activation of Kundalini, and one is the raising of Kundalini. These are quite different things. When you activate Kundalini through meditation and energy work, your energy body and its chakras begin to become more active. You start to feel sensations in them. You start to feel energy. And when that happens, it can be said that Kundalini has awakened. It is activated. And your chakras are more active, and it will begin the process of transforming your energy body and you as a personality to spiritually evolve you as a human being. Now, that is a slow, progressive process. Occasionally, you can get spontaneous Kundalini rising, which is a different thing. Now, through the process of meditation and energy work and other techniques, you can raise Kundalini as well, which means you manually activate the Kundalini circuit. Now, another thing to understand here with Kundalini is each of the chakras, using just the 7 main chakras here, each of the chakras has 2 main aspects. One is the aspect of acting as a transformer. So your base center, for example, has the ability, when you raise energy into it, it transforms energy into different forms, like an electronic transformer in many ways, and it transforms energy into different forms and feeds this energy into the rest of the energy body and into the higher chakras. Now, another aspect of a chakra is its ability to act as a capacitor, like an electronic capacitor, where it accumulates energy. Now, you only really notice the accumulation capacitor side of a chakra when you pull a lot of energy into it for considerable lengths of time. If, for example, you pull a lot of energy into your base center, it will eventually reach a point where it will strobe. And when a chakra strobes, it releases all of its energy in a millisecond, just like the capacitor in a electronic camera. When you push a digital camera, for example, stores energy from the batteries in a capacitor. And when you push the button to take a picture, there's this brilliant flash goes off because it has stored a lot of high voltage energy in the capacitor, and it's released through the flash bulb. A chakra does something very similar. And when a chakra strobes, the base center, for example, you will then get a kundalini spike, which will go up through the spine. Mm-hmm. And that is felt like a powerful electrical sensation, which can be painful depending on the strength of the spike. And you'll feel that rushing up through the spine. It's a very visual sensation. It can be likened more to 240 volts. It can be very, very strong and gripping. Now, if another chakra strobe, each chakra, keep in mind, is capable of strobing independently. Your stomach, your navel center, for example, and genital center, which is attached to that one below, will tend to strobe when you fall in love. If you fall in love, you'll get butterflies, your stomach will do a backflip, and you get really powerful sensations in the stomach. And if your heart center strobes, again, that is a different thing. When the heart center strobes, you get a massive surge of energy coming up through the body, and this is like a healing energy. Will go into the rest of the higher centers, or it will come out through your arms if you're giving healing at the time. The brow center is probably the most well-known. If your brow center strobes, you will get a massive mind's eye flash of light. Mm-hmm. And this is also commonly associated with kundalini, but it can happen independently. And what you get with when the brow center strobes is that the massive flash of mind's eye light, like a thousand camera flashes, have gone off at point-blank range in your eyes. Mm-hmm. And you will have a feeling of mild concussion over the of your whole facial area, as if somebody hit you in the face with a pillow, but without the hitting bit. You feel there's just mild impact there. And that is because your support, all the support circuitry for the brow center goes through the facial area, and it's keenly felt in that area when the brow center strobes. Now, the brow center is a very complex little instrument. You can call it an instrument, an energetic organ. It can also strobe on different frequencies, on different colors, you could call it. Now, the basic one is the brilliant white mind's eye flash, which just means it's like being majorly activated. And that may come with the feeling of concussion. You may get and probably will get mind's eye visions. If you remain relaxed, you will have spectacular mind's eye visions. Mm-hmm. If you remain relaxed and are not scared by it. Most people are scared by it when it happens because they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. They think they've been attacked because they feel this concussion in the face and a big flash. And if they haven't been instructed about what this is, you know, they put two and two together and come up with five and think something has just hit me. I'm being attacked by a demon or something. Mm-hmm. And but once you understand what it is, you can stay relaxed. Now, the brow center can also strobe on a purple level. And if it strobes on the purple level, it will release creative artistic abilities in a person, which is quite noticeable. My son, for example, when he was 14, came running into me one day out of the shower. I'm sitting at my desk, and he's in the shower. And up until this point, he liked artwork, and he would doodle and sketch and colour in, but he was, you know, below average. Now, he was in the shower, and I heard him yell out to me loudly, and he came running out with a towel in front of him. And I remember his words well. He says, Dad, he said, it's purple, man. The world's gone purple. And he was suffused in a world of purple. And what he said happened later when he calmed down, he said he's in the shower and all of a sudden there was this impact on his brow and his face and this explosion of purple light around him. Like, he said he couldn't see his hands in front of his face for it. Well, if you looked at his hands, they were covered with thick purple light, and everything, the taps and the walls and the doors, everything was covered in purple around him. It was like floating in purple water to him. And he was talking in front of me, very animated, and he said, I can still see it on his hands and on me and everywhere. And it's really amazing. And That settled down after a few minutes and went away. Now, this is the first part of the story. About 4 or 5 hours later, he's in the living room next to me, and he's watching his cartoons and doodling. And he yelled again, "Dad, Dad, come here, look at this." And I went in there, wondering what was wrong. And he was doodling, drawing, you know, sketching with pencil. And he said, "Dad, look at this." And he was sketching quite a complicated picture. And he was copying it perfectly. You couldn't tell it from the photograph. He said, "Dad, I could do this morning." And he couldn't. And from that day onwards, he became a full-on artist.
Okay.
And he still is today. He does the most amazing artwork. And so you can see how the direct relationship here with the purple brow center strobe, you know, turning on, activating a spiritual ability, which is creativity. I mean, he's creative with artwork, with music, with anything. He's just very, very creative. So that is an example of, you could say his Kundalini activated on that, on the creative level. And, sorry, when I hear you breathe in or a little sound from you, I stop.
No, just reflecting on what you were saying about chakra strobing, it almost sounds as though you're saying that each one has their own ability or their own kind of, you know, special power that a person can experience.
They do, absolutely. And sometimes you'll get a person who has a naturally active center. I mean, most people who are naturally psychic have a more active than usual higher center. It could be the brow center, it could be the throat center, the heart, or the crown center. And that activates their natural psychic or clairvoyant abilities. With a person like that, you find they also need to power it some activity in the lower center so the energy can flow up through the energy body into the active center and also down into it as well. But understanding this, it means that anybody can activate their higher centers. Anybody can do this, bar none. I've been teaching this work, energy work, for 20 years since I discovered these methods. And everybody that I've taught, even people who have zero psychic abilities, through the process of regular energy work and that, and meditation, can activate psychic abilities and spiritual abilities.
Mm-hmm. So these spikes that come from the base chakra, they kind of travel up through the chakras and activate them along the way. Is that right?
A Kundalini spike goes up through the spinal cord, up through the spine, typically. And that's where you can first feel it. The electrical, they're powerful electrical sensations. As I said, feeling like it's mains voltage, you get quite a cramping there as it spasms with a Kundalini spike. And these can be mild, ticklish, you're thinking like, you know, torch battery level. You'll feel a tickling electrical sensation and a very mild cramping up to mains voltage. It's hugely variable. Now, if most of the literature you read today equal a Kundalini spike up through the spine that activates a brow center strobe, a brilliant mind's eye flash. When that happens, it is said that Kundalini is now awakened. You've done it. That's it. It's a one-off event. You're now Kundalini awakened. But that is not the case. When I first did it, I didn't know that because I hadn't read it very little. I think I read 2 pages about Kundalini in a very old spiritualist book. And I just decided to do it. It took me 2 weeks to work out how to do it. And so when that happened to me, and I had the Kundalini spikes, and then I had a major spike, which was like mains voltage, I thought it was going to kill me. Keep in mind, I was very poorly prepared at this time. So if somebody were to prepare themselves properly, it is much less visceral than this. Mine is an extreme case. I like to think I made all the mistakes along the way, which makes me a better teacher because then I can advise people through personal experience why to do this, why not to do this, and why to do it this way. And there's no substitute for personal experience. But so after the first event, I kept raising energy. And you raise energy for Kundalini to the base center, and you raise it up through all the chakras and go back to the base. And probably 75% of the work is raising energy into the base and stimulating the base until you can get the base center to stroke. So after the major Kundalini spikes, I kept working on it, and 10 minutes or so later, Kundalini raised through me. And when Kundalini raised, Kundalini, they call it the serpent of fire, which is likened to be a cobra snake. And a lot of people think that is symbolic, but it's not symbolic. The cobra is an actual physical sensation you get when you raise Kundalini. Now, when you raise Kundalini through the base center and you actually trigger the raising, it's more like you release Kundalini. Once it's released, it will raise itself. You can't stop it. And it feels like a physical snake as thick as your wrist is penetrating the perineum, the flat area between the anus and genitals, and it forces its way into your stomach and into 3.5 quills, pushing its way up through the stomach and chest and then up through the neck and out of the top of the head. Now, this feels very visceral when it happens. You can feel your intestines sloshing and moving. Your stomach contorts a little bit as it moves up through your stomach and your organs. And I theorize that that is caused by an internal manifestation of ectoplasm. An ectoplasm is a semi-physical, spiritual energy substance which can be photographed under some circumstances. More on that later. I don't want to get sidetracked here. So you feel this very visceral snake moving up inside of you, and then it comes out of the top of the head. And when it comes out of the top of the head, this is first stage Kundalini raising. It spreads out over the top of the head, and it feels like a big cobra's head. And it hangs down over your brow to the bridge of your nose. And it feels like a big steak, a big meaty steak is hanging there from the middle of your head over the brow to the nose. I mean, you can feel this hanging there as if you did that. So you have this serpent-like movement up through you, very visceral, comes out through the top of the head and then spreads out like a cobra head and rests over the front of the head. Mm-hmm. Now, if you experience that, you would describe that as being something very much like a cobra moving up through. And this is where all the symbology comes from, because it feels exactly like a cobra appearing and moving through you, an invisible cobra, and then spreading out over the head. And that's the first level of Kundalini. You will get, of course, fantastic mind's eye visions. You will, at that stage, you will most likely have something like a near-death experience. You'll have experiences with deities and spiritual masters will appear to you at that time. And you will go through something like an initiation, very real and visceral.
Yeah.
Now, if you keep up the practice, now Kundalini is a whole new ball game. It's a whole new level of energy activation and practice. Once you get the Kundalini going like this, it's raised, you then need to develop it by regular practices of raising the Kundalini. Now, it gets quicker and quicker. The first time you do it, it might take 4 to 6 hours per session in an altered state to do this with energy work. Now, and you would do it ideally probably about a week apart, because when you first start doing it, you need to fast on water and vitamin pills for 3 days before you do it, and also have enema and cleanse the inside of your body, because it helps to activate your chakras if you remove any physical matter from around them. In a similar way, you sniff water up your nose and, you know, cleanse the nose canals of any dust, and that helps to activate your brow center chakra.
Yep.
But in stage 2 and 3, the higher stage of the Kundalini, when you start doing it, you get the same sensation. It gets a little bit easier and faster each time, but just as visceral. You get the activation, snake comes up through you, out through the top of the head, and then the whole top of your your crown center activates more fully. Now, the crown center, although it's you could say flowers in the center of the top of your head, it occupies the entire top of the head above the hairline. That is your crown center. And the brow center is actually a part of that. And when that is fully activated, you will feel what I call the Medusa effect. And mm-hmm. that is, you'll feel like hundreds of little snakes come out of the top of your head. Sounds really weird, but it's feels quite natural. It doesn't hurt or anything. And they're coming from like just the surface of your brain. And you will feel these little snakes, which are about as long as your fingers. It feels like a sea anemone. Your crown center turns into something like that. Now, this is what I call the Medusa effect, for want of a better term. That's my term. Yep. Now, the interesting thing about this, or this little sea anemone you've got on your head now, or you could call it field of snakes or whatever, responds to your thoughts. Now, if you think of a concept, let's say you think of love, your crown center will form a geometric pattern. Specific geometric pattern. If you think of another one, you think of compassion, you think of your pet cat, and it will form a particular mandala, and it will point, some of them will point to where your cat is physically in this world.
Really?
If you think of another person, say for example, if I thought of you, they would form a geometric pattern. I don't really know what these patterns are, but they're noticeable, and you can feel them so intensely you could sketch them, if you could sketch. When some of these fingers point to where you are in the physical world. So if I was doing that now, my some of the fingers of my crown center would point east if you were in Sydney or Melbourne. So you were in Melbourne?
Yeah.
So they would point to where Melbourne is exactly. Now, I've often theorized that if you had two or more people doing this, you could probably triangulate this and use this to locate people in the physical world. But fascinating properties these chakras have. I mean, the typical people who teach this and write books about this have a very surface level of understanding of the chakras and the energy body. And I don't mean to be disrespectful here, and that's not my intention, but I have approached these things independently with very little prior research, so I don't have any bias. And I've discovered all these amazing things about chakras and that which are not in the books. So, which leads me to say there's a lot more to these which hasn't been written about it. Now, I'm sure some of the things that I've discovered, if not all of them, are known about in the Eastern countries, where in the traditions of yoga and kundalini and various other practices. But if you look at those traditions, the higher levels of learning are forbidden knowledge. It is only passed on from master to student, from teacher to student, by word of mouth. It is forbidden to write on it, on pain of death, literally. So none of this has been, come through into any books. They're not allowed to write on it. But myself, because I'm not a member of any society like that, I did work this out for myself. I am not bound by any, there's no reason why I can't tell everybody about this. And if you look at the world today and the direction it's heading in and how things are in the modern world, I think we need as many enlightened people as we can in the world to help it to evolve in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I have no hesitation whatsoever in releasing this information. I mean, it is kundalini, to attempt that is a very serious thing. It can be quite dangerous, and if it's done the wrong way, it could drive a person mad, or it could even potentially kill you if it's done in the wrong way. Now, I don't mean to be a scaremonger here, but if you approach kundalini in the wrong way, like I did, I was lucky to survive the process myself, it can have a very serious effect on you as a person, and it can drive you mad, because if you do not have the spiritual development and the development as a human being to achieve a level of, just a basic level of psychological balance in your life, If you have a lot of psychological and emotional baggage and problems that you've suppressed, when you activate Kundalini on a serious level, your subconscious mind will say, here is all of that baggage inside of you and all those problems you've suppressed. Deal with it, all of it, right now.
Yeah. Yep.
it will also act, and it means that you have to deal with it, which can be traumatic if you've got a lot of baggage. It also opens you to a lot of psychic abilities and psychic impressions and various psychic abilities themselves. You may hear voices, you'll see things, all these perceptions you'll be getting, an onslaught of perceptions from the activated higher centers. And if this happens too suddenly and you're not prepared for this, we have a name for this in the modern world, Alex. It's called schizophrenia.
Yeah, schizophrenia or psychosis, yeah.
That is what you're risking. Now, I don't mean to scare people off. I think everybody should do this, but do not omit to do the basic work on this first. I explained it in my book. If you work through my book, Energy Work, and you get through to activating each of the chakras, you must be able to activate each of them independently. Mm-hmm. During energy work practices, if you have a couple of centers that don't activate, do not attempt to raise Kundalini until you can activate them. Because if your body's out of balance, you've got blockages. And once you've activated your chakras, then you can maintain an altered state and you've dealt with your baggage and that to a reasonable extent here. I mean, you don't have to be a saint. Then you can approach Kundalini reasonably with reasonable confidence here.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done, and I don't mean to sound like a scaremonger here, but I have a duty of care, because if you teach this to people and you don't mention these things, there is a small percentage of people who are going to have serious problems. They're going to come back and say, why didn't you tell me about this? You've ruined my life.
Course.
You know?
Yeah.
And as a duty of care, you don't want to hurt people, so you need to inform people.
Right.
Regardless of it, they might think it's scary. I didn't want to know that. But, I mean, hey, a lot of stuff in the New Age movement is fairly dealt with like that. People don't want to hear the bad news. They want to hear only the good stuff.
And yeah, that's true.
But doing that, it's a bit of a two-edged sword. It makes you sleep well at night, but it gives you a very unrealistic take of the greater reality, particularly when you're dealing with energies, positive and negative energies and forces and beings, spirit beings out there, positive and negative spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand, for example, the nature of poltergeists and some, you know, troublesome spirits and that, if you don't understand their nature because you never read about it or talked about it, if you have problems with them, you'll have no idea what to do about it.
Yep.
It's also terrifying if you come across something like a poltergeist. But if you understand what they are and what to do about them, which I deal with in my book, Practical Psychic Self-Defense, that gives you an understanding of them and some very practical methods for dealing with them. For example, fumigating your house with incense, a lot of incense, like frankincense, using running water to break connections with them, very, very fundamental things which anybody can do, and I've thoroughly tested them over the last 20 years. Which can really make a difference. Now, if you come in, encounter something like that and you don't know what's happening, it can be very destabilizing, and then you've got a lot of research trying to find things that work. You may have to read a wheelbarrow load of books and spend a lot of money for people who say they can help you, can't really, in order to find out that, oh, jumping in the shower and having a long shower and doing some white light energy visualization would have stopped it cold in the beginning.
Right.
Or crossing a garden hose gushing water immediately after the problem occurred will stop it, as will fumigating your home with incense. Very simple things would stop it. Because once you get a problem, if you don't know about it, you spend several months researching it till you find some help. These problems have now become ingrained into your body. They become firmly attached. And, of course, it's like a disease. The longer you have it and the longer you don't do anything about it, the more difficult it is to heal. Anyway, back to energy.
Yeah. We're pretty much running out of time at the moment. So I was just wondering, you know, to wrap up, you know, what book would you recommend of yours that someone get if they're completely new to energy and don't know anything about it?
There were some online tutorials on my website which are very helpful, illustrated, at www.astraldynamics.com. But my book, right. Energy Work, it's called Energy Work, is the best for learning the system. It's got gorgeous illustrations in it. It walks you through the process and up to and including information on Kundalini. But it starts at the beginning, starting with brushing the hands and the feet, and it progressively takes you through it with some very practical exercises. I also have energy work in my book, Astrodynamics, but the best one is Energy Work.
Okay, thanks. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Robert.
My pleasure, Alex. It's been nice.
Great. Should do it again sometime.
Will do. Bye.
Right, bye. Right, everyone. You can find Robert Bruce's website at astraldynamics.com, where you also find his online workshops and books. And I hope you enjoyed the show today, and see you next week. Thank you.